Let's look at the passage today, Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, without revelation, people run wild, but one who listens to instruction, he will be happy. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit and your word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher. I'm your preacher. On me is a greater judgment, a more strict judgment than anybody in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. I haven't prayed that prayer in a while, so it's good to see you. Kim, I'm going to move those pictures up. You good with that? Can you do that? So we had Christmas Eve service, and I just want to show you one picture. The reverency, if you will. I've put it on the screen. Cooper and Ezra, look how reverent he is in that. Isn't that beautiful? And then I start praying. This is the effect we have on people right here. See that right there? Isn't that amazing? That's just what we preachers do. So I'm starting my sermon, and for some of you, that's a cue to have a good nap, okay? I'll wake you up at the end of it when we dismiss you. And thanks, Kim, for doing that. I'm going to give you four challenges today that are based on God's revelation to us. That's challenge number one. Challenge number two is you and I building our trust in him. Challenge number three is in the words of Job, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And then challenge number four is our pursuit, our seeking him out in that. As we look on 2025, I gave to Drew as he preached one of our sermons for us there in the end of December in 2024, our word was trust. And then this word for 2025 is going to be that we remain in him. And that's going to be a theme that you're going to be hearing all year. Let's go back to Proverbs 29:18 for just a moment. We're going to break this down. Without revelation, people run wild, but one who listens to instruction will be happy. You and I may have learned it this way. I know I did. That where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. And that's the way I learned it. I know a lot, and I'm just going to talk to you from my life here, growing up in the church, being a preacher's kid, being a pastor, is a lot of times we use this for building campaigns. This is a verse that you would use when you're enlarging the campus, when you're building more buildings, and I get it. I totally get that. But if we break this down in context, there's a bigger picture here than this. So I just want you to know my vision is not about enlarging our campus. It's not about more buildings and all that. I can see a need. I just want you to know I'm horrible at that. I just go ahead and tell you I'm not good at building things. I'm just not. I'm not good at raising money. I'm not good at that either. But I'm saying a revelation that comes from the Lord is it's something about our life collectively and in our life individually or personally. So when I talk about our vision here today, it's not going to be about campus enlargement. It's not going to be about buildings. I know some of you could think this building is really simple and too simple and should have been organized differently and whatever. I just want you to know, for those of us who were mobile for 9 years, this place is a palace. You know, I'm just going to tell you, this place right here is it's I'm just thankful for every portion of it after coming 9 years of just being anywhere and everywhere. So when we get to this verse and we break it down, when we give with the word revelation here, I want you to know that it has a prophetic voice. We talk about revelation. The word here means truth. It means without truth, people run wild. Without revelation from God, people run wild. It's a picture of they perish because they're running wild. It's a picture of loose living that's involved in all that. But it has a very prophetic tone to it. Like, I don't... I think we can step in and out of that prophetic tone sometimes. Like, I remember when David and Marlene Rowe, long time ago, a lot of you who've been here, you know David and Marlene. And I saw David come back to the Lord and from just some loose living. I saw him come back to the Lord, and he was really concerned about Marlene's spiritual life, her salvation. And I can remember one day talking to David, and I can remember really sensing the depth of his concern for Marlene. And we were talking, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me that we're going to baptize Marlene. She's going to come to Christ. And so I just told him that. I just looked at him and I said, "Hey, David, I just want you to know we're going to baptize Marlene." And I spoke it as if it was a done deal. Because when he does speak it, it is a done deal. And I sense that. Now, I'm not going to walk around with a prophet t-shirt all the time and everything I say to you has prophetic tone. I just know that it did in that situation. I'll give you another one. Brian Black, who was a part of this church for a long time, led worship here, was an active part. He's at First Baptist now, leading the contemporary worship at First Baptist in Lawrenceburg. And I remember one day I was talking to him on the sidewalk, and we call him BB. I affectionately call him BB. And I remember back then he was playing everywhere he could. He had a country band called Killing Time, you know. And so he was just really doing all. Guitars were you know, custom made for him. In fact, I asked JM, I was trying to remember the guy who made his guitars in Nashville. And he was doing great, you know. And I remember one time on the sidewalk, I was talking to Brian. I said, "Brian, I just want you to know that one day you won't be playing country music anymore. You're going to be leading worship." And he's like, "Yeah, right," you know. And he laughed at me. And now who's laughing, you know? So there are times that we, and I say you and I, when the Lord does it, I can't turn it on, I can't turn it off, right? But when he speaks in a prophetic tone, he's doing this here. Without vision, truth, revelation, people are going to run wild. It's going to be loose living. I'll go back to my James 1 sermon. The enemy will use you to begin to drift away. When you begin to drift away, that's what all this is starting to take place. But he says, without vision, people perish. And you may come to me and you go, "Hey, Pastor Jeff, what's a 7-year vision of the church?" I don't know. You know, I can't give you that. Because I think the revelation that he has given me is that you and I need to focus more on our time spent with him. I think the revelation here is not about campus enlargement or buildings. I think the vision he's given me as pastor of this church is I have to continually, over and over and over, get you to the word for 2025, remain in him. Stay, get there, get to where you're going. You're going, "Well, what's the strategy of Hope Church?" And I'm going, all of you would go, "Man, that's an easy Jeopardy question, you know? It's an easy answer. It's the Big Five and the Hope Arrow. If I can get you doing the Big Five every day, you and this church will go to heights you've never seen before. If I can get you doing the Hope Arrow on a weekly basis, this whole area is going to be saturated with ministry." It's because when we do these things, his revelation is coming to us. And his revelation is an invitation to us to be able to join him in what he's doing. So in 2025, preacher questions here, is God going to give you a deeper revelation? Yeah, the answer to that is yes. The question that I have to ask you is, are you going to receive it? His personal revelation to you, not just us, but to you. His personal revelation about him and his character is something that we look for. Even his own personal revelation about you. You remember when Nathan came to David about David's sin, and he explained it in such a way, and he was explaining David's sin, and David's like, "Well, who is this rascal, you know?" And then Nathan says, "It's you. It's you Is there a check that goes on in ourselves that he brings special revelation even to us? You ask the question, well, can he do that? I give you the answer. He always does that. That's his character. So is it possible that this year, 2025, can be a time and a season of complete redirection of your life? The answer is yes. A complete revelation of his will. I might make you uneasy. I pray that it is. I pray, listen, Julie and Jeff have gone through major redirections in our life. In our life, all because of the will of God. And without these revelations, these vision, this truth, then people will perish. They'll run wild. It'll be loose living. And then here's the promise. Kim, if you'll bring that verse back up. The promise is that if you keep the law, then you are blessed. You are absolutely blessed. So what's the challenge here? The challenge is for you to rearrange your life to be in his presence more often. You're going, well, man, I upped that in 2024. Great. Up it again. Spend time with the Father. Spend more time with him. I really want to lead you as a pastor that he's the first place we go. He's not a place that we go sometimes. He's a place, he's the first place that we go. And so revelation here is if you go to him, revelation's going to occur. It's going to occur for you, for us, and even more of his character to his people. The second challenge is a life verse for Julie and me, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Hopefully it becomes a special one for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him or think about him in all your ways. And he will guide you on the right paths, or he'll make them straight. If you know anything about preachers, we all have our sugar stick sermons. This is one of mine. It's one of mine. And Jenny, I know that you know that. I know that you have that written down. And it's a part of our life. It's a verse that I've literally dissected, cut apart, and just eaten in my life. Not last name eaten. I mean literally consumed it. And when we start off here, you need to remember that the proverb writer is telling you to trust, but not trust something, but just trust someone, and that is the Lord. The word trust means we attach ourselves. I'm not giving you all the sermon. I'm going to hit some high points in it, though, and that is I often use the illustration of a chair that to tell you the difference between faith and trust. I can look at the chair, I can stand off, I can observe the chair, I can figure it out, and I can look and see and go, okay, that chair can handle me. It has the capacity to hold me, the strength to hold me. And so I'm standing off and looking at the chair. That means I have faith that the chair can. But I don't trust the chair until I've placed my life, myself in it. That's when I trust it. I'm standing off believing that it can, but when I sit in it, I am trusting it that it will. And that's where we are with God when it comes to trusting. Not in something, but in someone. That when I trust him, I have the faith that he can. It must start there. We must begin there. I have the faith that he can, but then I'm going to step up and trust him that he will. We've been singing songs about difficult times today already and how the Lord leads us through those difficult times. I'm going to have faith that he can. I'm going to trust him that he will. It gives us other action here in this verse. Don't rely on your own understanding. Some of you are very sharp in this room and your logic is incredible. It goes to depths that some of us don't have. But it says don't rely on that understanding. God says his ways and thoughts are not our ways and thoughts. And that we have to plug into that. That goes back to challenge number one. The more time we spend with him, the more we understand his revelation to us, collectively and then individually for our lives. That's how we get it. It's time with him. And then that revelation is not always going to make sense to you. It's not always going to make sense. And that's where you've got to learn to trust who he is, not only faith that he can, but I'm going to trust that he will. And it says we acknowledge him or think about him in everything we do, where we live, work, and play, and learn. And I will use the word play, but you think preachers don't have hobbies. Well, this one does. He has quite a few of them. It doesn't matter what we're doing, that whomever we're with, when we're doing these things, work, where we live, work, play, or learn, they must know that Christ has preeminence in our life. In the college football playoffs, the interviews, especially with quarterbacks or running backs, man, there's been some incredible testimonies. They're asking them about their win, and they're just talking about the Lord. You know, it's just giving Christ credit and all he's done, the abilities he's given them, that kind of thing. And I saw this great division where one of the quarterbacks was getting his team riled up, but just cussing at him like a sailor in port, you know? And then the other quarterback was praising the Lord, and there's just such a difference that's involved there. But even in their play, we're seeing them give credit. Now, I know everybody that points to the sky and takes a knee in the end zone doesn't always mean they're doing that in the Lord. But when I hear them verbally take a question that's meant for how well they've played the game, and they divert it to, I want to tell you about my Lord, I do pay attention to those. So we acknowledge him in all that we do. And then he gives us a great promise here, one we all want. And the promise is, I'll make you pass straight, if you learn that version, or I'm going to direct your path. It all comes from spending time with him. You're going, preacher, are you ever going to get off of me spending more time with the Father? Will you answer that for me? Because that's where the revelation is. And where the revelation is where the truth is and the vision is, and happy is he who keeps the law. Blessed is that person that keeps the law. Because I want you to discover what God has in store for you. You come to me and you go, hey, preacher, you got tons of stories. I do. Because I've tried to live. Julie and I have tried to live. We have faith that God can, but we're going to trust him that he will. We're just going to be able to do that. So I want you to have your own story of who God is and what he does. So what's the challenge here? Let's trust him more. We trust him with everything, that of which we know, and then most importantly, the unknown. 2025 is an unknown for us. We're only so many days into it. Actually, I'm counting the days to spring. I don't know about you. I didn't pay attention in the second service. Did you do the snowfall in the second service? Did you do it? You did? So they were showing the snowfall behind the lyrics. And I'm going, no. We want a beach scene, you know, give us some sun and sand and all that. Those of you who love snow, God bless you, but I've had enough, you know. I've had enough. But 2025 is an unknown. We're only so many days into it. You have to trust him with that. What he's revealing to me is from him, and then I'm going to trust him with the unknown. I tell you, that can be scary, but I just want you to know that can be such a great adventure to be able to live that and see what he does. So the first challenge is we live with God's revelation. The second one is we trust him. The third one is in the words of Job. The Job says in Job 19:25, I know my living Redeemer. We know him. There'll be times that people will make comments about Jesus, and I'm going, what they're saying doesn't match the Jesus that I know. You know? And Job, with everything being stripped away from him, everything taken away, everything happening to him, he trusts. And Job is really not a book about suffering, even though it includes it greatly. It's a book about wisdom. It's really wisdom literature. And Job's wisdom here tells us, and you may have learned it this way, because there's another verse that says, Job says, as for me, I know, but I know that my Redeemer lives. I know I know some of you have got the song going in there, and I know you want me to sing it. I won't. You just play it on iTunes or Spotify. But he says, I know my living Redeemer, and that he will stand on the dust, meaning the earth, at last. He knew God. Job knew God. And Job knew that God was going to send a rescue, a redeemer, a vindicator. The picture here with this in Job is a courtroom where he's standing alone, but yet he knows God is going to send him an advocate. God is going to send him because he said that I know. We know that that redeemer is Jesus. At that time, Job's knowledge was of God, but he knew a redeemer was coming, and he knew the redeemer lives. He knew that. Look at 1 Timothy 2:5. This is what we know because we're further down the road, even in Scripture. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, a man who's Christ Jesus. We're able to know that. But here, he knew God so well that he knew that he was going to send a vindicator. Now, I've got to tell you, this comes out of just me being as old as I am. And I'm 64. I've been telling everybody this year I'm marching to Medicare because I started applying for Medicare in April. And I can't believe that. I told my brother that the other day. I said, your little brother is marching to Medicare. So my birthday's in July. And so you have to start applying early. Over the snow and ice stuff, I've been going through Dairy Queen and their country platter breakfast. It's incredible. I just want you to know that. Okay, it's awesome. And so I've been buying more for other people and giving it to them. And so I don't know if you know, I'll go ahead and let you out. They give a senior discount. I think it starts at 60. And so I'll order and I'll go around to the first window and I'll take the senior discount. And this lady said, no, you're not 60. And I said, well, how old do you think I am? And she said, well, I think you're in your 50s. I said, God bless you. I said, you are my angel today. I really appreciate it. Came around another time, one other morning, got a country platter breakfast, and then got some others to be able to bless other people with. And as a different lady, and I came around, I said, I'll take a senior discount. And she goes, no way. And she goes, let me see your license. I said, ma'am, do you know how long it's been since I've been carded? I said, it's been a long time, you know? And I was reaching for my license. She goes, no, I'm just kidding. She goes, but you're not in your 60s. I was going, man, Dairy Queen is such an encourager. You know, it's just blessed with the breakfast and this incredible encourager. So I'm saying all that to tell you this. When I was looking at this verse about Job knowing God so well that he knew he was going to send a vindicator for him, I had to go back to our younger days of Julie and me and some of you who join us of Tarzan and Jane. And I won't give you the Tarzan yell. I'll forfeit that. But Jane knew that Tarzan was coming. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he could sense she was in trouble jungles away. And he knew that if she ever got in trouble, you would hear that cry. And here he comes, grapevines or whatever, riding an elephant that's leading the whole herd, a rhino, you know, or whatever he's doing. And I know that sounds silly, but in the series, Jane knows Tarzan's coming. Well, in life, Job knew the Redeemer was on his way. You know, he knew that. He knew that. And that the Lord said, he's coming. And he goes, I know God so well that I know he's not going to leave me alone. He's going to bring me a redeemer. He's going to bring me a rescuer. It gives me Jesus bumps. You know what I'm saying? He's going to give me a vindicator. You could do it with your superhero movies or whatever you want to do. But he's going to send that rescuer to us. Job knew that as everything fell around him, listen to this, that Jesus was going to stand. He was going to stand. He was going to lead through. He didn't know Jesus at that time, but he knew his Redeemer was going to stand on the earth, the dust, at the very last. Listen, I know the people with the floods of eastern Kentucky, other parts of the world, other parts of our nation, I know they've had a lot stripped away from them. Just uncanny catastrophes that are going on. And I want to say that even all that's happening, when all falls away, please remember that he stands. Don't forget that. Hurricanes from the Gulf Coast and Florida all the way to North Carolina, when all falls away, just remember he stands. Tornadoes in western Kentucky and other parts of our nation, when all is stripped away, just remember he stands. From the fires that are happening in California and other places, just remember when all is lost, and there's lots lost, just remember he stands. He is going to lead us through. With the winter that we just had, the ice and the snow, and power's been out on campus, and once we got power going on, furnaces were going out. Daycare was here, there, and yonder. I think we squeezed one day in. We mostly did all of our focus and work on trying to get the daycare up and going, but things were working against us, and we all know that winter, the snow and the ice, your schedules were disrupted. We had to reorganize. Julie and I looked at each other one day and we go, which day is it? We didn't even know what day it was. I don't know if you've all had that problem or not. We may have that on a good warm week, you know, let alone icy, stormy week. But I just want to remind myself, when all falls away, he stands. Some of us in this church, our own community, faith community, several are going through situations with disease, and seasons come. We don't ask for these. When our bodies are breaking down, please remember, when all seems to fall away, he stands. When death comes knocking, our Redeemer has defeated death. I have to throw that in there. But Julie and I were at a recent funeral of a family friend, Pam Hardy. And Pam was like a sister to Julie in a lot of ways. She's like a year and a half, 2 years older than me. And our families overlap with the Hardys in many, many different angles. And so we went to her funeral Wednesday. I don't know that you know much about preacher life, but I'm around funerals and death all the time. All the time. I told Julie, I said, I know you know what scripture says, and she does. But I said, I want to remind you what it says about life. Scripture over and over tells us that life is a shadow, life is a vapor, life is a breath, life is a mist. He even gives an illustration. It's a flower that blooms in the morning, only to be withered by the evening sun. That when this life fades away, I want to remind you, he stands. I know my living Redeemer. He says, I know him. And I know that he's going to send me a Redeemer, a Vindicator. I know that he is going to send me the rescue. What's the challenge here? The challenge here is this. I want you to know him in this year deeper than you've ever known him in your life. Don't go thinking, I know enough about him. We would say that about Paul, the Apostle Paul. But Paul would turn around and he said to us in Scripture, I haven't obtained it all yet. So I want you to know him deeper and deeper than you've ever known him. I want you, when you're going through some of the toughest seasons of your life, I want you to stand up and say, as for me, I know my Redeemer lives. And he's coming for me. He's going to lead me through. Fourth one and the last one is Hebrews 11:6. This is about seeking him and pursuing him. It's going to go back to challenge number one, and then challenge number two and three are going to fall into place. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near, do you see that? Draws near. we're moving to spend time with him, to him, must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. And scripture even goes on to say, diligently seeks him. That seeking him is where I'm going to lead you. That's, you're going, what's my vision? A bigger sanctuary? We may need one time. That's fine. If it is, we'll figure it out. That's not my vision. My vision is to see you, to go to the Father on the first of anything that happens in your life, to give him praise, to give him thanks, or to give him your anxiety and your cares and your worries and your concerns, is to be able to go to him first. I hope you remember this, but we teach four invitations from God to us here at our church. Number one is to come to me. We teach an invitation of come to me. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We give an invitation that says, call to me, call to me. And here's where I want to spend a minute, okay? I've said this to several people in the last couple of weeks, especially this last week, that sometimes I know what scripture says and I know what I tell you, but sometimes I struggle with giving the Lord things and I'm going, well, you've got bigger things to tend to. I know I've got some friends out there, right? I get to thinking about bigger issues than mine, like the power going out. I'm fine with snow. I'm fine with all that. But when I see that ice storm prediction, man, it's PTSD from 1978 and 2003, you know? I mean, I'm just like, holy cow. You know, and then our power goes out on a good summer day at home. And Lisa, I know, I think it does with you too a lot. So, because we're neighbors. But it can go, we lose power in the summertime all the time. And so I knew we were going to lose power during this ice storm. And I've got a generator, you know, I'm overprepared. I've got cook stoves, I've camp stoves, I've got kerosene heaters, I've got whatever, you know, and my family laughs at me because it's just overkill. Really, it really is overkill. But I'm ready. But I realize there's people going through more stuff than me. Man, I shouldn't bring this to him. Listen to me. I handled this devotion the other day that said, God has got unlimited attention for you. That I get to thinking that there's bigger things that God's going to go, Jeff, why are you giving me that? Don't you know I've got bigger things to attend to? He's never going to say that to us. That's not his character. He's never going to do that. In fact, on the one we're on right now, he gives us an invitation, call to me and I'll answer you. Show you great and mighty things you don't know and understand. He wants us to go there. He goes, I know when a sparrow falls to the ground. I know the hairs of your head are numbered in his character. In the detailed attention that he gives our lives. I don't know about you, but I can struggle with, well, Lord, I'm giving you this, but I know there's greater things for you to tend to. He wants us to come to him and to call to him. And then we cast to him. What are our anxieties? What are our worries? We cast them to him. And then we confess to him. We give him and we unload our sinful behavior and we give that to him. So the challenge is I want you to seek him. The more you're remaining in him, the more revelation you're going to get about you and your life and what he's inviting you to join him to do. We're going to trust him on a deeper level. We're going to be able to say with Job, when everything can be the worst part of his life, and he's saying, as for me, I know that I have a living Redeemer, that my Vindicator is going to come. And if we seek him in Hebrews 11:6, that he is going to reward us. Let me just tell you something. I would rather have a reward from the Lord than what's behind door number 3 on Let's Make a Deal. Okay? And that he rewards us. He diligently rewards us. And I want that for you. So what's our vision? Our vision is God's revelation to you and us. My personal prophetic voice is I want you to go to the Father like you never have. And I'm going to make you a promise. I'm never, ever going to stop challenging you to go to the Father. We run everywhere else way too much. It's time to go to Him. That's our vision. And when that happens, revelation happens. Trusting Him deeper happens. Knowing Him greater happens. And even seeking Him and reward happens. And I want that for every single one of you. Will you receive that today? Will you receive that challenge today? So that without a vision and revelation and truth, we run wild. It's loose living. We perish. But he who keeps the law, blessed is he. And I want you blessed. Amen. That's our vision. I want you living in the will of God and doing what he made you to do. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. I pray a blessing over them. I often ask that they pray that over others. I pray that over them, Lord. I pray that blessing. And Father, only you know what 2025 has in store for us. But I pray that no matter what happens, that we can stand with the words of Job and say, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that you will stand on the last day and that you will lead me through. I trust you. And I speak for our people, Lord. We trust you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place? You may want to come and pray. You got situations going on. If you just need somebody to pray with you and pray a blessing over you. You're here, you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Man, I pray that today be the day of your salvation, that you come. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, today you come. Blessings.